for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, September the 2nd, 2017, Randy Ritchie is the speaker of this service teaching on Many Shall Come.
You want to win? Maintain thankfulness. Cultivate thankfulness. Cultivate your praise life, your thankfulness. Sometimes you don't feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. He's worth it anyway. He deserves it. You need it.
Yes.
Inhabits the praise of His people. Do you want Him inhabiting your praise? Praise Him. Listen, He knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. Thank Him anyway. To thank Him is to say, I trust you even through what I'm going through. You're bigger, and you're better, and you have good things in store for me. I always tell people, thank Him for your socks, and your underwear, and your shirts, and your pants, and your clothes, all those things you take for granted, and many don't have. And for the food you get in. Listen, you throw food away that people dig out of the garbage. We do. Some people don't eat leftovers. I kind of like them. But some people won't. They really don't know what they have. But when you're feeling, listen, when you're down, how many knows the enemy comes? Right? Anybody here ever been immune totally from the enemy trying to weigh you down? You respond. And you respond by saying, you know what? I'm going to praise my Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it is, listen, thankfulness and praise is your quickest path to victory. You want a long path or you want to shorten the path? God will determine the time, but I want to tell you something, church. Amos 3:3, how the two walk together unless they be agreed.
Amen.
If I want, listen, I want to do my part to shorten the time of testing, of trial. And my part's going to be, Lord, I know. And listen, I remember what you've done for me before.
Yeah.
And I'm only alive because your mercy.
That's right.
And I'm alive today to give you glory because you deemed me worth saving and keeping alive when I did not even respect you to the least.
Amen.
When I was doing everything I could to run from you, you were good to me.
Amen.
There was an old man in history, his name was Polycarp. And Polycarp was a direct disciple of the Apostle John. And the Romans, they would flip back and forth in their Caesars about whether it's okay to be a Christian or not in his time frame. And so sometimes it was okay. Next guy come along and said, man, ain't nobody worshiping anybody but me and the Roman gods. And they start persecuting the Christians. So they grab Polycarp and the Roman curator tells him, listen, old man, you don't even have to mean it. All you got to do is renounce your Jesus publicly and say you worship Caesar. You don't have to mean it. Save your life. And that old man's 80 years old, and he says, you know, my Lord's been good to me all these years. I don't think I'll do that. And they led him to a fire, a big fire. Like what we call a bonfire. And they put that old man up on a stake and they tried to burn him and he wouldn't even burn. Praising God the whole way. They say, history says, there was an audible voice that came out that said, play the man. Well, who's the man? It's Christ Jesus. So Polycarp didn't go berating them. He didn't cuss them. He didn't do anything. He praised God. Just like me, he was silent towards the people. Just like Jesus went to the cross. He didn't protest. He didn't fight. And Polycarp went. He wouldn't even burn. That means he wasn't in any pain. And a Roman soldier ended up sticking him in the side, just like he did the Lord. And when he did, his blood put the fire out. He died and went on to his reward. But thousands of people came to the Lord. All because of a grateful heart. I want to read something to you. I always call this stuff bonuses. We didn't come planned to do this, but the Lord has His way. And He shows us things, and we have some excellent teachings. One of them about crucifying the flesh, one of them about being in Christ, one of them teaching you the truth. You can have as many demons as you want to. Let's get rid of them. Crucify the flesh. Kick them out. Obey God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. He will. But this is about being carnally minded, and it's going to repeat a little bit about what Sister preached, but then it goes into something I thought was pretty good. A friend sent it to me, or he posted on Facebook, and I grabbed it. To be carnally minded is death. It is possible, or is it possible, to be carnally minded yet still be considered a Christian? I'm going to present to you that the term carnal Christian is an oxymoron. Because Christian itself means Christ-like. So you can't put carnal in front of a Christian. Because you cannot be a carnally minded Christ-like person. Okay? Can such a person still be saved? Sometimes Scripture answers our hard questions more definitely than others, and this one is as sobering as it is plain. The phrase carnally minded means literally the mind of the flesh. And the Greek word for mind is more comprehensive than we might think. It refers not only to our thoughts, but also to our actual seat of our passions. It encompasses our fears, our joys, our sorrows, and all the mental and emotional faculties we possess. In effect, Paul is referring to the carnality of the heart and soul. To be immersed in thoughts and concerns of the flesh. A carnally minded person is one who sets earthly goals by human means and then sets out to reach them through worldly measures. They look to the inner strength to resolve problems and overcome fears. From a human standpoint, these appear to be admirable traits. Don't we all admire someone with inner strength? Aren't we all supposed to strive for such a life? The world would tell us yes, but God's Word says otherwise. Make a trip to any mainstream bookstore. You'll find row upon row upon row of self-help books and resources. Books that promote self-worth, self-reliance, and personal fulfillment. I should have answered. My wife just called. Let her talk to you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to say it again. Books that promote self-worth, self-reliance, and personal fulfillment abound. They promise to reveal the secret to happiness and wealth and well-being, and almost always do so through a doctrine of self-actualization. Many are well-written books. They seem to make a lot of sense on the surface. Christians frequent these shelves almost as often as unbelievers. To be carnally minded is to depend on yourself rather than God. It is a lifestyle looking inward instead of upward. It may sound good, but it doesn't solve the greatest dilemma of our life, our eternal fate. In what ways, listen, this is a question. Listen to it, ask yourself. In what ways are you looking inward to solve your problems instead of looking to God? What steps do you need to take to change this habit? Listen to me. You need to look inward, search ourselves with God through His Word and His Spirit to see what's blocking Him. Because He's here to help. You know what? And I'm just going to share this a little bit. I'm not a plumber by trade. I'm not a carpenter by trade. I'm not an electrician by trade. I'm not a cabinet installer by trade. I'm not a countertop installer by trade. I'm not a floor installer by trade. But I have a house I'm remodeling, and I've done every one of those things. And you know why? Because my daddy knows how to do it all.
That's right.
And it's not about me. I bring him into everything I do, and I try. And sometimes I'm in the middle of doing something, and I'll just stop and say, oh, Lord, I forgot to ask your dad. I want his help. Me and a pastor friend of mine are putting a tin ceiling up in this place one day. And after about the second sheet, we're wrestling with that thing. I said, hold on a minute. I said, Father, we need your help here. I don't want to do this without you. So let me tell you this. So that seems minor. In the course of eternity, it is. But if you bring him into every little thing that you do, you are practicing being in Christ, as my brother preached. In Christ. See, there's Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. That's His presence in you. But in working with Him, living with Him, every month, listen, your thoughts, are they towards God as you go about your business even? Are you aware of the presence of the Lord? Because if you bring Him into everything, then you begin to live a life in Christ. It's no longer your life, but His. And we have to make that. I told you when I came up here about I'm sitting there singing some songs and I said, Lord, I need to worship You. I want to worship You. How many know there's a difference between singing a song and worshiping? And brother say people out there in the Spirit of God, people clipping their nails, okay? Just waiting on this song to end. So we can get this message over with and we can go get lunch. And that's where they're at. But when you taste and see how good God is,
amen,
you know you need those times.
Amen.
He deserves the praise and we need to do it. That's what we need, what He gives back. So that was a bonus. Thank you, Paul. In the name of Jesus. Alright, I'm going to pray now and we'll go into the main body of this message. Father, in the name of Jesus, You've been good to us. We're all here because You're good. We thank You for Your goodness. We praise You for Your greatness. We worship and adore You in Your holiness. Thank You, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. You've already shown Yourself strong. There's nobody like You. Thank You for what You've already done in this camp, what You're going to do, and what You're going to do beyond in the lives. And I thank You for the fruit that's going to abound in each and every life here, 30, 60, 100 fold. Thank You, Father, for the blood of the Lamb of God by which we're all able to approach You. Thank You, Jesus, for choosing the nails. You didn't have to, but You did. Thank You that all glory is Yours. And Father, when we do anything well, You get the credit. Anything. You get the credit. And Lord, when we sin and when we don't do something so well, we'll run to You. You're able to fix it. By Your grace, we can repent and be cleansed of unrighteousness and set back on solid ground. And You're walking fellowship. All You're looking for is our honesty. Transparency with You. Lord, that we become folks of no reputation because Your witness becomes greater to us and how we look to others for You. Not for our own self-righteousness, but for You. So that the lost can be found. Blind eyes would open, deaf ears would hear, Lord. And I pray that right now that every blind eye to anything You want open opens today. You alone, Yahweh. And every ear that is deaf to truth opens in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, You're the light of this world. You'll shine the glorious light of Your gospel deep into the souls of Your people. And any place where there's hidden work of darkness, it'll be exposed and seen, Lord, to Your truth.
and strongholds will be smashed. As truth comes in, lies leave.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Release your freedom here, Lord.
Thank you for the anointing that destroys yokes.
Fear your anointing, Lord.
As Brother said, if you're not in it, if you don't go, we're not going anywhere. You stay, we stay. You go, we go. Let this be a tent of meeting between your people and you today. And we do give you all the glory and the authority you will give us. I bind the strong man, sign to every person here, sign to the camp. And I just thank you, Lord, for a people that will be able to sit like you do, Lord, and receive in heavenly places with you. And your word in Psalm 2 says you scorn those that come against you. You laugh at it because you're that powerful, Lord. We give you the glory, asking you to save all men. You said pray for all men. We pray for people all over the world, people in Houston, government leaders. Lord, where they're retrobate, bringing destruction to the body of Christ, reprobate people, you know who they are. If they're those, I ask you to judge them. I ask you to judge them, Father. But if there is any possibility of their salvation, we ask you for it, Lord. We bind the enemy of their souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right. We are going to talk about, the title of this will be Many Will Come. Many will come. How many know there's great deception in the world? The Bible says that the devil deceives the whole world. Everybody say, I'm glad I'm not part of the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Amen? I like what you said about what you inspect. I've learned to vet things. I look at everything. Not out of legalism or fear. It's either of God or it's not. And if it's of God, I want it. And if it's not, I don't. Because if the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, like I said the other night, let's quit helping him. So I check everything that comes along my path. I will tell you this, church. If everybody in the body of Christ is for it, you might ought to check it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow the path that leads to eternal life. I'm just telling you. I'm saying they're always wrong, but sometimes. And I want to say this to you, and I don't know where we're going here, but I'm just going to say this. Listen. Gross darkness on the earth, according to the prophet Isaiah, gross darkness in the people. Over 7 billion people on the earth. 1840-something, there was 1.5 billion. You've had exponential growth in people. Even amongst the body of Christ, how many people are hungry for the Lord? How many people are living in Him? How many people are offering themselves up to the Lord to support inspection? Look at me, Lord, help me to be who you want me to be. How many? So each step of the way, is now God's merciful. There many people may go to heaven, but they're, boy, they're going by fire. But try, I mean, good barely. That's the word says so. So all of the people that are walking in ignorance, and the Bible says, my people perish and are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So even people that love the Lord, many of us are blinded by tradition and religion. And because of that, we're not effectively working with the Lord to destroy the kingdom of darkness and to bring truth. So you start narrowing that thing down, gross darkness on the earth, the deception will get greater and greater and greater and greater and greater unto the point the Lord lifts the restrainer. Total deception is on the earth and the abomination of the desolation is set up, the Antichrist. And people are going to beat the door down and take the mark of the beast. So we want to walk in truth, right?
Yes.
Amen. Say, Lord, your promise is the Holy Spirit who leads me into all truth. Matthew 24:3. While Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will these things take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered them, says, see to it that no one deceives you. Because many will come in my name and say, I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many people. Other verse, here's Matthew 24:11. And many prophets will arise and mislead many. For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders that would deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Matthew 24:24. John 5:43, I've come in my Father's name, and you've not received me. But if someone comes in his own name, you'll receive him. When Antichrist comes, he's not coming as the boogerman. Everybody know what a boogerman is? Don't tell your little kids this boogerman's going to get them either, by the way. I bring fear into them. And if you talk about it enough, a boogerman will show up, it'll be a demon. And it'll inhabit your child and scare them. Don't talk about monsters under the bed or in the closet either. Okay? Don't do that. It's not true. And it instills fear in a child. And it gives a license to the spirit realm to come pick on your child. The Antichrist comes and he's going to be the answer man. And he's going to come as a replacement Christ, as one like unto him, but who isn't him. He's saying, I told somebody earlier, listen, a wolf in sheep's clothing looks like a wolf. And you're not going to discern the wolf with natural eyes. You can only discern a wolf in sheep's clothing by the Spirit of the Lord. So many people are going to be fooled. And it's going to take relationship with Jesus to keep you from getting fooled. And it'll be by His grace, which everything is anyway. Anything you do good, it's done by the grace of God. We're going to begin with Roman Catholicism. I suspect that most people in this room know Roman Catholicism is a problem. Which button is it, sister? Alright, so we're going to begin with Roman Catholicism. You know if you'll unplug, did you plug something else in to make that happen? Okay. So, let me just go from there. Thank you, Father. We reset now. The Roman Catholic Church claims to have started in Matthew 16:18 when Christ supposedly appointed Peter as the first pope. However, the honest and objective student of the Scriptures and history soon discovers that the foundation of the Roman Catholic Church is none other, listen to me, than the pagan mystery religion of ancient Babylon. While enduring the early persecutions of the Roman government, most of the professing Christianity went through a gradual departure from the New Testament. The doctrine that described church government, the worship and the practice, it changed. Local churches ceased to be autonomous by giving way to the control of bishops ruling over hierarchies. The simple form of worship from the heart was replaced with the rituals and splendor of paganism. Ministers became priests, and pagans became Christians by simply being sprinkled with water. The tolerance of an unregenerate membership only made things worse. Sprinkled paganism is about the best definition that you can give it. Now I'm going to stop right here. If I was teaching on Freemasonry, I'd stop and tell you that all Masons aren't heathen. Okay. And Catholics, many are sincere people. And there's a few saved ones, but not many. And all that are in that church are in deception. But how many know there's a lot of them in the Baptist church and the Assembly of Gods and the non-denominational church are in deception too, right? But as a whole, And I may even repeat this later, but the Catholic Church is not leading its people into a personal relationship with Christ. They have, listen, they couldn't even exist if they didn't have enough truth. Alright? They wouldn't have billions of people if they didn't have enough truth that people could fall for. So they do have the truth that they believe Jesus is the Son of God. They do have the truth that they believe Jesus is God. Okay? They got a lot of error. Terrible error. They put the church If you're going to talk about a cause, listen to me. Anything, any entity, anywhere that puts an organization between a soul and Jesus is a cause. It's a problem. Anything, anywhere, anytime that puts somebody else between you and Jesus is a problem. Anywhere and anytime, any place that you have another way to get to the Father without Jesus is a problem. Roman Emperor Constantine established himself as the head of the church in 313 A.D., which made this new Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. The first actual pope of Rome was probably Leo I, although some claim that Gregory I was the same. We're talking 440 to 590 A.D. This ungodly system eventually ushered in the darkest period of history known to man, properly known as the Dark Ages, from 500 to 1500 A.D., through popes, bishops, priests, Satan ruled Europe, and biblical Christianity became illegal. Do you know there's nothing new under the sun? The times that we're heading into are not going to be non-religious times. They're going to be very religious times. And they're going to wrap all these forms and stuff up into one to worship the Antichrist. In the Bible, there's no popes or priests to rule over the church. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And all true Christians make up a spiritual priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5. Jesus Christ has sanctified all Christians who believe on Him. Hebrews 10:10-11. So all priests today are unnecessary and unscriptural. Furthermore, the practice of calling a priest father is forbidden by Jesus Christ in Matthew 23:9. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible never speaks of Peter being in Rome. Neither does history. It was Paul, not Peter, who wrote the epistle to the Romans. In the New Testament, Paul wrote 100 chapters with 2,325 verses. That's not bad for a murderer, you know. Put that in perspective. The grace of God. The forgiveness of God. Because that's what Paul was. 2,325 verses. While Peter wrote only 8 chapters and 166 verses. In Peter's first epistle, he stated he was simply an apostle of Christ, not a pope. The Roman papacy and priesthood is just a huge fraud to keep members in bondage to a corrupt pagan church. Now we have the worship of Mary. Roman Catholics believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, remained a virgin after the birth of Jesus and was sinless all her life. Now listen, their Bibles don't say that. But later on, the Pope and the councils of the Catholic Church wrote that in the footnotes to the Bible. And their footnotes take precedence over the Scripture. She is worshipped in the Catholic Church as the Mother of God, as the Queen of Heaven. St. Bernard stated she was crowned Queen of Heaven by God the Father, and she currently sits upon the throne in heaven making intercession for Christians. The Bible teaches otherwise. In the Bible, Mary was a sinner just like the rest of us. She even said that she needed a Savior. Luke 1:47. She had to offer a sacrifice to her sins in Luke 2:24. Jesus was only her firstborn son, according to Matthew 1:25, because she later had other children. By the way, if you read through your Gospels, they thought he was, that Jesus was crazy for a while. And when they came looking for him, thinking he lost his mind, that's when he said, my mother and my brothers are the ones that do the will of God. Last time we hear from Mary in the Bible, she's praying with the disciples, not being prayed to by the disciples. The Bible never exalts her above anyone else other than the saints. She had faith. We praise God. She was a special person, chosen to carry the Holy One.
but she's not to be worshipped in any way, shape, or form.
Purgatory. And I'm going to tell you something else. The tentacles of Satan, they're different, but many. And they interwine. So the Muslims don't find Mary. They got a real problem with Jesus. The real Jesus. They don't mind Mary. And in the days and times to come, that might be part of how they're folded into this great system that's coming. It's an abomination before Jesus crushes it all. Know that. So they have a doctrine called purgatory. And now listen, I see people who've never been raised Catholic saying after somebody dies, I'm praying for them. It's too late. They're either in heaven with the Lord, cheering us on, or they're in heaven. So even Christians, not raised that way, have some ignorance about us. You won't pray for the people behind that are meeting, grieving and mourning, but not for the one that went on. Heaven Church teaches that a Christian's soul must burn in purgatory after death until all their sins have been purged. To speed up the purging process, money may be paid to a priest so he can pray and have special masses for an earlier release. This heresy began creeping into the Roman Church during the reign of Pope Gregory around the end of the 6th century, and it has no scriptural support. You know what it does? It gets money for the church. Because if you had a loved one you think was burning up, you might want to go do a little bit, see if you can get them out. Get them on up there with Mary. Jesus warned about this pagan practice in Matthew 23:14 when he spoke of those who devoured widows' houses and made long prayers for pretense. Psalm 49:6-7 tells us a person couldn't redeem a loved one even if such place did exist. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem a brother or give to God a ransom for him. Peter addresses this issue in Acts 8:20 when he says, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money." He was talking to a sorcerer who the people thought was from God until the real guy showed up. Thank you, Lord. The Mass. How many in this room have ever taken the Catholic Communion? Some know already. You should know. I'll explain to you why now. By perverting the Christian practice of the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26:26-28, and 1 Corinthians 11:23-27, the Catholic Church has created the Mass, which they believe to be a continual sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Here's their words from their encyclopedias. Christ commanded that his bloody sacrifice on the cross should be daily renewed by an unbloody sacrifice of his body and blood in the Mass under the simple elements of bread and wine. Jesus didn't make such a command. If you'll check the above references in Matthew 26 and 1 Corinthians 11, you'll see for yourself that the Lord's Supper is a memorial and a showing of Christ's death till he comes. It's a remembrance. It is not a sacrifice. His sacrifice was once and for all. One time. Here's another part of their encyclopedia. In the celebration of the Holy Mass, the bread and the wine, listen, are changed into the body and blood of Christ. It is called transubstantiation, for in the sacrament of the Eucharist, the substance of bread and wine do not remain, but the entire substance of bread is changed into the body of Christ, and the entire substance of wine is changed into his blood, and the species or outward semblance of bread and wine alone remaining. So they teach that the Holy Mass is a literal eating and drinking of the literal flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. The priest supposedly has the power to change the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. I remember a minister that specialized in funny saying he didn't want to bite Jesus. And those that are stuck in that religion, you know, that bread and the wine is, and there's a place for reverence, but if they had too much bread and the wine, they're going to eat it all and drink it all. Even to the point of drunkenness. And it's the priest and the altar boys doing the eat and drink. So what does God say about that? I'm going to say this. There was a man here. Right? His name was Dr. Noah. He's here for a long time. That rejection poster over there is from him. I remember him telling a story, and I think he was Episcopal. So not Catholic, but same. They call it consubstantiation, but it's the wrong belief in what's happening in communion. And he said at one time as an altar boy, they prepared 200 communions, and only 50 showed up. So him and the priest, and I think they used grape juice. I don't think he said they got drunk, but I don't remember. But anyway, had to eat all that and drink all that. And he said from that point on, even after he came out of that church and was going on with his life, learning in the Lord, he had an overwhelming compulsion every time he got around there to go take communion in that church. Just driven. And he said he went up to a place called Hedwig's Bible Baptist, which is Win Worley's place in Indiana. And when he went up there, he said as he walked in, he'd been there before, so they had actually employed him in ministry at the time. And he walked in there, and Win Worley pointed at him, and he thought he was pointing at him to get that prayer line going on all the way around to go minister. And so he walked over there, and another man intercepted him. And he said, I'm going over here to minister, and said, no, he wants me to minister to you. And so they proceeded to have a little bit of debate on that. And finally he said, well, okay, then you minister to me. And then a man looked at him and said, does the word transubstantiation mean anything to you? And he said, immediately his throat locked up. And he was all like, you're going to choke to death. And it was that demon. Man. That man then delivered him up. And then he never had that compulsion to go back again. Interesting story. But it just shows you. You know, the devil thrives on the ignorance of God's people. And ignorance, listen to me, ignorance is not a slang or a nasty word. If you just don't know something, it just means you didn't know. But now listen to me. If you choose to stay that way, that's a pretty poor choice. Huh? God loves you all the same, but you're going to get tore up. All I know. What does God's Word say about such practices? If you read Genesis 9:4, Leviticus 17:11-12, and Acts 15:29, you'll find that God absolutely forbids the drinking of blood all throughout the Bible. Rome teaches the Mass is a continual sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but God's Word states that he was the final sacrifice. They actually believe the priest is pulling him down from heaven and putting him on another cross. We don't want any part of that. They believe in salvation by works, image worship. Catholic religion is filled with all sorts of symbols, images, and relics. The Catechism of the Council of Trent states that it is lawful to have images in the church and to give honor and worship unto them. It is lawful to honor and worship images according to them, but according to God's word, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of any things in the heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down yourself to them or to serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. Worship nothing but the living God. Like Nikki said the other day, there's no description of what Jesus looks like. Like he said, people be getting, if they try to look like Jesus, they go get plastic surgery. People will worship the image. One day they're going to worship an image. It's the image of the Antichrist, because he doesn't have any prohibition about having an image being worshipped. Salvation by works, for infant baptism, keeping sacraments, church membership, going to Mass, praying to Mary, and confession, just to mention a few. The Catholic Church has developed a system of salvation through works. God's Word says we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not through works. If you're really saved, there should be good works following you. Out of a thankful heart to the Lord. You're not even, you can't pay it back. But you do your part because you're grateful. Let me tell you something. In many of you here, some of you might know this, what I'm teaching you. Some of you might not. But you need to be able to explain to people. You haven't heard some of these things. But I can't tell you how many people that never, ever thought they had any Catholicism in their background, that when we begin to do deliverance, demons are flying out of them from the Catholic Church. Okay? So as I'm speaking this, I pray in the name of Jesus that if there be spirits, if there be demons from Catholicism in you, that even now as this truth is being told about what is wrong and how it doesn't line up with the Word of God, that those structures begin to be torn down, that they begin to be revealed and even come out of you, those demons come out of you, even ahead of the deliverance. We'll be here a little bit. In Jesus' name. Following is an explanation of occultism in the Catholic Church by some former high-level Illuminati witch. His name was Doc Marquis. He identifies several critically important areas in which the practice of Roman Catholicism and witchcraft are identical. The altar in every Catholic Church is prominently positioned in the front of the church. The mysteries of the Mass are celebrated on and around the altar. In witchcraft, the altar is similarly used for three purposes: to practice certain metaphysical rites, such as the casting of certain spells, or to honor occult deities, to hold the tools of magic, and to perform human sacrifice. I've seen ministers do it, and I think they're in deceit, and they're casting demons out, but they're holding a Bible up against somebody to torment the demons, or a cross. Well, what you did was go to a relic. We cast demons out in the name of Jesus. It's simple. We don't need a tool. Our tools are the Word of God. Our tools are the name of Jesus. Our tools are the blood of Jesus. We by the power of the Holy Spirit and by faith and faith alone. And so demons are leaving, but I wonder what's coming. Because listen, Catholic Church does exorcisms. But it's just like witch doctor medicine. If you went to a witch doctor, if you went to a shaman, if you went to a medicine man with an affliction, they might do something. Or a faith Bible healer that does other ritual with it, different places in our country. And they went on a set of prayer to bury the chicken bone. You might have 100 warts fall off your hand. But they're setting you up for the car wreck 2 years down the road. Mm-hmm. Or the cancer of the divorce. Because when you play cards with the devil, you always lose. He's not giving you anything for free. There's just an exchange that pulls the hooks into you. Same thing here. So Catholic exorcism uses ritual and rite instead of the simple name of Jesus and faith. So a Roman Catholic altar holds tools of magic. They daily perform human sacrifice, calling Jesus down from the altar. It's called a mass. Isn't it funny? Listen, the term Christmas comes out of the Catholic Church, but is it kind of strange that Christ Mass, which is celebrating His birth, really means Christ's death? Something odd there. I'm glad He was born. Hallelujah. Glad tidings to the earth.
Amen.
Could have never grew up and died. We wouldn't be here. But a lot of the stuff that goes along with Christmas is pure deity paganism. And if I was you, I'd start looking. Because maybe there's some things you don't want to do. If you want to be free. If you want to be free. Same way with Easter, by the way. Which is really pagan night. Pagan night. Ishtar, the goddess. We need to focus on Jesus, not bunnies, eggs. Oh, by the way, that goddess landed on a spacecraft that was egg-shaped and turned into a bunny that laid eggs. Just saying. The Catholic golden goblet, or chalice, is this the cup that the wine poured into it becomes the literal blood of Christ. When a witch does a human sacrifice, after the victim's throat is sliced open, the spilled blood can be collected in a chalice. Just like the Catholics did. Except that chalice holds a real thing. Satan's eyes, in Satan's eyes, the Catholics are performing the same rite. Listen, you're worse than either one or two entities. One of them, it's either God or it's the devil in whatever form he takes. Candles were introduced to the Catholic Mass about 320 AD. They stand for things. Okay? Listen, if you buy, even a central oil, same way, I'm not going to go into all that today, but listen, what something gets labeled with spiritually, a spirit from the wrong side will take it, if it's an icon. So white candles are supposed to be purity, truth, and sincerity. Red, strength, health, vigor, sexual love. Light blue, tranquility, understanding, and patience. I break the power of all color magic.
Amen.
Over everybody in this room.
Amen. Amen.
Anywhere that them or their ancestors have entered into this. Green, finance, fertility, love. No such thing as love. Root word is Lucifer, just so you know. Okay? Brown, hesitation, uncertainty. Pink, honor, love, morality. Listen, there's not an object in the world that's beneficial to you in the form of anything spiritual. Not one. If it's spiritual. Okay? Only Jesus. Only the Lord, our Father, only the Holy Spirit. Incense is a constant tool used by priests. They'll take a filter, it's called an incense burner, walk around the altar, and then wave it out towards the crowd with an invocation. Not only do witches use incense, but they'll consecrate their altar and their fellow witches in the exact way the Catholics do. Bells are also used by the witches. Bells are actually baptized in both witchcraft and Catholicism. Altar boys attend the priest sounding the bells. Witches are praying to images or statues for many centuries before Catholics begin the practice. When the Pope, the cardinals, and the priests want to give a huge blessing, they'll take out a golden scepter or wand and dip it in holy water and then wave it on the people. Wands are nothing new in the occult. Let me tell you something, church. A blessing by any other name then the true Jesus Christ is a curse. I was in Nepal, we were in the group, and there were these guys that come up trying to flowers on somebody's wrist or bless them, and I want to bless you with flowers. And I remember some of the girls that were with us were there, and they were about to take those things. I said, no! Don't do that! Because it wouldn't have been a blessing, it had been a curse. Don't let anybody pray for you unless they're born again Christians. Oh, and I'm going to say this, that you know they're born again Christians.
Amen.
By their fruits, you know them. If they ain't no fruit, don't let them pray for you. If they won't pray from afar, so be it. Even then, thank you, Father, I agree with them if it's of you. If not, no. Okay? Don't come into agreement with prayers that aren't true prayers to the living God. Even prayers that are prayed, so I want you to listen to this, church. This is just instruction, but listen. Soulish prayer, prayer played in the flesh, does not get answers from God, but it may be picked up by the devil. Oh, Lord, whack that pastor and show him the truth. Huh? That's out of the flesh. Never do that. Watch how you pray. We want to pray God's will. You're the most powerful people on the face of the earth. You're either going to agree with God or agree with the devil. Don't release things from your mouth that will manipulate or control somebody else. You don't know what God wants for them sometimes. Bind the devil and ask God's perfect will be done if you don't know. Don't ever ask God to bless somebody. You better know that you know that you know that you know that it's God telling you to, and you better be in that kind of relationship, is all I can tell you. You heard me pray that God would judge the reprobate. You heard Brother Nicky talk about the reprobate. There are people that can't come back. There are. And many of them are being used to destroy the body of Christ, so it's perfectly fair to ask God to judge that. I'm not judging, I'm asking Him to. But if they're reprobate, He's already judged it. But as a human representative on the face of the earth, I'm petitioning God to help us. And if they're savable, save them, Lord. Because that's what we want. But He knows. Be careful how you pray. When a witch wants to direct his power, he can do it by means of wands. He can control the demonic forces at his disposal by using a wand to consecrate a circle with a pentacle inside. I right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, speak an erasure to every pentacle. The blood of the Lamb of God that every pentacle been placed upon God's people be erased with the blood of Jesus. Holy water is also used by a witch to purify himself and his instruments. And the water is made holy in both witchcraft and Catholicism by mixing water with salt. Both tactics and witches teach that the host becomes the actual body of their respective God. See, it's nothing new. The Babylonian system, they had communion. And when you took it, you became one with their God in a magical act. If you slept with a prostitute, you became one with your God too. To the Roman Catholic, the host becomes the actual body of Jesus Christ. The witch believes the host actually becomes the body of their pagan deity. It's known in both circles as transubstantiation. Witchcraft, Roman Catholicism teaches the universe is comprised of five elements. Spirit, water, air, fire, and earth. Anybody remember that old rock and roll group, Earth, Wind, Fire, and Rain? Or what? Well, that was the witchcraft term. And we stole along. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You know that stuff will stick in your soul? And years later, having not heard any of that mess and not listening to it, if you're not careful, you find your foot tapping to it and it's trying to draw you. So many places that you go and music that we shouldn't be hearing is there. You know, I protect my ears and I say, Lord, I'm going in here, but thank you for protecting my soul. Protecting my ear gates. That does not come into my soul. Because I can't control everything. But Lord, I can sure pray and God will protect me because He's faithful to do it. So there's spirit of the water god that they sacrifice daily. There's a water spirits in the holy water they use to purify and baptize. Spirits of the air. Have you ever heard the enemy? Jesus called him the prince of the power of the air. It's used for the incense. Fire is used in tangent with the incense burning. Earth. The elements of the wafer come from the earth in agriculture and the flesh of their sacrificed deity. Jesus Christ. Do you know there's another Jesus? We're not going to have time today to go everywhere I was going to take you. But I would have taught on Jehovah Witnesses. And I would have taught on Mormonism. They've got another Jesus. Sincere people. But they have another Jesus. They have another Father. Can you switch forward to find images? Yeah. All right, so let's look at some images. You see that guy there? That's supposed to be Peter. His foot's worn out from getting kissed. He's Mithra, Tammuz, a Babylonian god, brought from those territories and put there and given the name Peter, by the way. Dagon. See Dagon? Anybody ever read the story about the Ark of the Covenant being placed there with Philistine gods? And Dagon kept getting knocked over. He couldn't stand by God. See his hat? He was a fish god. Called a miter. Notice the hat? Similarities? Dagon. There's the symbol of the Shamash, the sun god. Look at the Shamash symbol on Pope John Paul's hat. Same symbol. See it? Huh? Solar wheel at the Vatican. Again, the symbol of the sun god. Sun god symbol seen here with the Pope Francis. Listen, that Vatican, if I was teaching on Freemasonry, you'd see the same thing. There's an obelisk sitting in the center. That's a male. Right around it, surrounding it, is female. We're talking body parts, okay? Okay? Because that's what they're worshiping. And the eight steps there, even though that's called a solar disk, and it is also an eight-step path of enlightenment, which is just a path of witchcraft. And that sits right there in the Vatican. And we got a very similar thing. We have right there the Washington Monument, standing up Washington, D.C., surrounded by flags, and across from that is a Capitol building that looks just like the Vatican. Those tentacles of the enemy are tied all together. Sun God Apollo is on the temple at Pergamon Museum.
Right there. Right there.
Look at it inside the Catholic Church. They look pretty similar to me. Then there's a statue of a woman dearly holding the same sun symbol at the Vatican. Next is the Apis bull. Possibly the image that the Jews made of gold at Sinai. Let me tell you something. Seen some interesting things lately. God's always. Devil tries something, God just shows him up. Okay? So if you go back and you search through history, you're going to find that Sinai and the Sinai there was the mountain, and the desert of the chief moon god of the time. So God goes up on the mountain and shows that he's the one. He took his mountain. So what happened when Moses was gone too long? They came back down. They were worshiping a calf, which was a symbol of the moon god. Okay? So that calf served a number of purposes, but if you want to look right here, see those horns and the moon in the middle of it? They're all intertwined. But ultimately, in their timing, in the time when Israel was coming out, the moon god was the chief deity of those areas. So they reverted to what was there when they lost faith in what God was doing. Okay. Babylonian sun worship, Roman Catholic, moon's trace, round wafer there healed in the crescent moon. See it? Egyptian army, there's that sun disk again with the moon. It's called sun and moon disk. They go together. Anybody ever heard of yin and yang? Sun and moon. Interchangeable, really. Okay? Sometimes the sun was worshipped as the big wheel, and other times they go back to the moon. So, same thing, here's an Islamic temple. Do you think, look, see, there's nothing new under the sun. Allah's the moon god. We're contending with exactly what they contended with. Roman Catholic altar with Mary. So, there's not a lot of distance between those two religions. Honestly, they're both deception. So, there's billion Catholics, 1.5, I think, maybe, over a billion Muslims. When that barrier gets lifted by the Catholic Church, when they say, and they will, listen to me, they will. I'm not going to go into it, but I can really tell you what's coming is supernatural. It's not what man's going to do. It's what's coming from the other side, and then God will eventually destroy it. But there's supernatural beings going to be showing up as men. Okay? And the Catholic Church is ready to proclaim them as our creators. They're already preparing. Just got to dig. And when they do, it's going to take Jesus as the Savior totally out of the equation for the Catholics, and it's going to mold them and the Muslims together as one. And because both of those people don't have the Spirit of God, none of the Muslims, very few of the Catholics, they will automatically go with their leadership. And it'll mold third of the earth right into the worship of the beast. That's what's coming. So there's an obelisk at the Temple of Egypt. It's to the sun god Ra, or Osiris as well. There it is right there at the Vatican. And by the way, one pope came along and he took down all that mess, and the next pope that came put it all back. And when he did, he put that up and he tried to exorcise that thing. Okay? And he put that cross on top of it. Now, I told you what that is. There's no way to exorcise that. There's no way to cleanse it. You have to destroy them. You have to destroy them. Pagan goddess Isis with Horus the child. Notice the sun disk above her head. Then look right next to her. You see Mary? Okay? And you ever see that halo? See that? Look at that.
Same thing.
Goddess, mother, cult.
Goddess, mother, cult.
Different name on it.
Goes back all the way to Semiramis. Okay. So this goddess here,
her name is Isis, but her precursor, what came before her that ended up just getting her name, was Semiramis. Semiramis was in Babylon, Nimrod's wife. And she had a son named Horus. And you had an unholy trinity, Semiramis, Nimrod, and Tammuz. So in Egypt, it morphed into Isis, Osiris, and Horus.
Same group. And look here, all the way over here. In the Aztec mother and child worship. All over the world.
Catholic leadership quotes. It has often been charged that Catholicism is overlaid with many pagan incrustations. Catholicism is ready to accept that accusation and even to make it her boast. The great god Pan is not really dead, he's baptized. Listen, only people going to get saved is those who totally renounce everything and everyone but Jesus Christ. There is no other name under men, and the one true Jesus. I'll go back, I want to just tell you, I'm not going to be able to teach you this, but Jehovah's Witness, the problem with them is their Jesus is the Archangel Michael. So you can't be God and a created being at the same time. And our Jesus is God. And anything that denies he's God is Antichrist. Okay? Mormons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, same word. But their Heavenly Father was a man who became a God through holy living. Our God is eternal. Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Ancient of Days, you've got a different Father there. Their Jesus is a brother to Lucifer. And their doctrine. Well, you can't be a brother to a cherub and be God. So even though the terminology is the same, you've got a different Jesus. And those are great deceptions, people. The worst deception. Are the ones that put the name of God on them. Because people will fall for it. All who will pray with me, pray with me. And like I said, your position in this, you may have never done anything in the Catholic Church. But in your mind, if your ancestors have done any of this. Or by the way, Protestantism didn't get rid of all things Catholic. We might not want to be a part of it. So let's say, Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. I come as a sinner, seeking forgiveness and cleansing from all my sins that I've committed against you and others, made in your image. I honor my earthly father and mother, all of my ancestors of flesh and blood, and of the spirit of adoption, leave it at godparents' house. But I utterly turn away from and renounce all their sins. I forgive all my ancestors for the effects of their sins and iniquities on my children and myself. I confess and renounce all my sins, known or unknown. And I accept personally the sacrifice that Jesus gave himself for me on Calvary. I renounce and rebuke Satan and every spiritual power affecting me in the name of Jesus Christ. True holy, Creator God, in the name of the true Lord Jesus Christ, in accordance with Jude 8:10, Psalm 82:1, and 2 Chronicles 18, I request you to move aside all celestial beings, including principalities, powers, rulers, and to forbid them from harassing, intimidating, or retaliating against me and all participants in this ministry today. I ask you to prevent these things of whatever right from being permitted to sin any level of spiritual evil as retaliation against any of those here. Against our family, our ministries, our possessions. I renounce and annul every covenant made with death by my ancestors, by myself, including every agreement made with Sheol. And I renounce the refuge of lies and falsehoods that have been hidden behind. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce and forsake all ungodly involvement in Roman Catholicism by my ancestors and by myself. I renounce every covenant, every blood covenant, every alliance made with Roman Catholicism or the spiritual powers behind it made by me and my family. I renounce and repent of all permission I ever granted to be deceived or that was granted by my parents or previous generations without my awareness or consent. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I renounce every form of ungodly authority. I repent for any loyalty towards the Roman Catholic Church, its popes, its cardinals, archbishops, bishops, and priests, when that loyalty and obedience should have been to Jesus Christ. I also repent and renounce any and all impartations I receive through the laying on of hands, including by any false priesthood and all religious deception. I especially reject the false teaching and belief in the infallibility of the Pope, because there's only one true God, and every man's a liar, according to Romans 3 and verse 4. I repent for me and my ancestors' silence and ignorance about the Roman Catholic Church, historical use of terror, bloodshed, torture, lies, coercion, deception, sexual immorality, fraud, control, manipulation, either directly or through the various orders of the church. In the name of Jesus, I repent for believing in a church that has kept people from understanding the Holy Bible, which has the words of life. I humbly request to be exempted from the punishment for adding or deducting from God's word. I repent for it, Lord. And I receive protection and forgiveness. Please help me to understand your word, the Holy Bible, and to trust it to apply to my life in a way that will bring glory to your name and benefit for my spiritual growth and maturity. I want to speak this. You say this with me if you agree. Say, Lord, I may not understand everything in your word, but I believe it. And I'm asking you to help me to understand. In Jesus' name. You believe first. I'm just teaching you here. Now listen, you believe first. Your position is, when I understand it, I'll believe it. Your position is, I believe it. Help me to understand it. Amen? One's defiant and gets no help. And the other one is humbly saying, okay, Lord, I believe it. I just want to understand what you help me. And he'll help you. I renounce the pagan syncretism, the mixture all alongside true biblical doctrine teaching by the Catholic Church. And anywhere else. I renounce all false doctrine. Every doctrine of demons. Taught by anybody. Anywhere. I reject
and repent
of all pagan beliefs and practices and ask to be set free from all pagan influences in my mind, my will, my emotions, my heart, my conscience, my imagination. Help me to change my habits. I choose to forgive everyone that taught me false doctrine, even the sacrifice of the mass. I renounce and reject calling on any spirits of the dead. I repent from necromancy. I choose to forgive myself and receive your forgiveness, Lord. Ask for mercy on those who taught false doctrine. In the name of Jesus, help them see the truth, Lord. Say, I renounce all devotion, veneration, and worship, and idolatry to Mary, any of the saints. I ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive me. I repent for my ancestor. I ask to be set free from all confusion for praying the saints. I renounce all Catholic sacraments. I renounce all beliefs contrary to your word. I renounce and break the power of all Catholic baptisms. I renounce and break the spirit of stigmata. I break the power of any unholy confirmations and dedications. I renounce the Catholic Mass. I renounce the blood tie of the Mass. I renounce the necromancy. I renounce every soul tie to the Catholic Church, to the pagan priest, to anybody that taught me in error. In the name of Jesus, I renounce all patron saints. I break in the power of the Catholic laying on of hands. I break the power of any false born again experience. I break that. I renounce it. I break the power and renounce the debauchery of the priesthood. I renounce and break mea culpa. I renounce and break all confessions to man for forgiveness that are unholy and receive my pardon from the Lord. There's a big difference between going to somebody and saying, forgive me. You're getting your pardon for the crime from the Lord and your work in repentance and reconciliation between humans. And sometimes we do. And what the Catholic Church perverted the confessional to put them in between you and Jesus. But the truth is, there's a time when you're to confess your faults one to another, and many of God's people aren't healed because they're sitting in pride and won't go to another human being. So we need to do that. But you're ultimately doing it being obedient to the Lord and getting that out in the open so that we can all pray together to get healed. But you're not putting the church or that person or a body in between you and the Lord. Matter of fact, every good minister of the Lord, your entire job is to take and get the people's problems to the answer, which is Jesus. And you're just a facilitator of this. Amen? Say, I renounce. Break the power of the genuflection, extreme unction, holy orders, last rites. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of the novenas, all prayers to Mary. I renounce her as redemptress. I break the curse of the anathema that was placed upon everyone that's left the Catholic Church by the Catholic Fathers. I break the power of the scapulars, brown and green, the stations of the cross. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the titles of Pope and Holy Father. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the doctrine, the Catholic doctrine of Immaculate Conception. In the name of Jesus, I now command every spirit they came down through Catholicism, paganism, all practices that Jesus ordained Believe me now. Come out. In Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Come out of them now. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus. Leave God's people. Holy water. Come out. Confirmation. Come out. In the baptism. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Icon. Worship of icons. Come out. Worship of idols. Come out. Sun God. Moon God. Come out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Unbelief. Come out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of purgatory, come out. Penance, come out. Trying to pay back God. In the name of Jesus, lying spirits that call them trying to pay back God. There's no way to pay that price. Go. Serve God. You love God. But you can't pay him back. The price was too deep. Come on. Get out of them now. In the name of Jesus, all idolatry, all paganism, Babylonian spirit, Babylonian witchcraft, white witchcraft from Babylon. Come out of there now. In the name of Jesus. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Perversion that came down through the Catholic Church. Go. Transubstantiation. Eucharist. Come out. Rosary. Spirits from the Rosary. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Spirits of the crucifix that came through that crucifix. Jesus isn't on the cross. He rose again. He rose again. Every lie, say every lying spirit that's come down my bloodline from the Catholic Church and all other mixtures, you have to go. Spirit of error, you have no part of me. Go now in Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. Error, let him go. Tradition, let him go. Religion, let him go. Come out. Doctrine of demons, let God's people go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now raise your hands to heaven. Say, Lord,
Lord,
fill me with truth.
Fill me with
your Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth. I receive forgiveness, pardon, cleansing. I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me, body, soul, spirit, from the effects of darkness, paganism, Catholicism. Lord, I receive it. Now, Lord, any sickness in my body, any infirmity, I believe you're my healer. You alone. Not by ritual, not by performance, but because of your goodness and my faith in you. In the name of Jesus, I receive my healing. In Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. Lord, I just thank you that your virtue pours out on the people of God. I bless them in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord. And I thank you, infirmities have to leave. Spirits of infirmity have to go. And Lord, I thank you for healing them. We speak life. Life more abundant. Life more abundant. Even as life comes in, death has to flee. And Lord, we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now give the Lord some glory. He's not here. It is the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said the truth, Lord. And Father, thank you for the food. In the name of Jesus, thanks for this meal. Thanks for the hands that prepared it. We give you all the glory for it. Let it nourish our bodies. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.